Jnantimidandasya Jnananjana Chadakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Katamayam Tadatishva Padantikam Srila Prabhupada was very fond of this prayer by Lochan Das Thakur. We know that beautiful story when Srila Prabhupada was touring America, South America, Europe, we've been to Africa, Australia, all parts of India, Middle East, Tehran. He was traveling the whole world. Why? To carry out the order of his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. On their first meeting, at the Gaudiya Math, Ultadonga Junction Road in Calcutta, his Guru Maharaj gave him an order. You are an intelligent young man. You should spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya in the English language in the Western world. Srila Prabhupada meditated upon that instruction and made it his life and soul. At the age of 69, he left the Sevakunj vicinity of Vrindavan at the very place of Sri Rupa Goswami's samadhi, Jiva Goswami's bhajan kutir, and came here to Bombay. Where he begged for a ticket, literally begged. He took his train to Calcutta, then traveled down to Mayapur town, where he spent a day at the samadhi of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, praying for his mercy, his blessings, his permission to execute his order. In a way that no one in Vaishnav history has ever done. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had sent several of his senior most sannyasi and other preachers to Europe, but he funded them. The whole mat in India was supporting them. Srila Prabhupada had no support. He had no funding. He didn't even have a partner. He went alone. Gaudiya Math sent teams of people to Europe. Prabhupada wanted others to come with him, but no one was willing. Even Lord Chaitanya, when he went to Vrindavan in South India, his devotees insisted, you bring Kala Krishna Das with you to South India. You need someone to serve you, assist you. Or you take Balavajra Bhattacharya in an assistant to Vrindavan. Prabhupada was 70 years old on the Jaladuta. And he was getting heart attacks and seasickness. And he had no money that was exchangeable. He literally had nothing. All he had was a box of books, his japa beads, an umbrella, a little bag of cereal, and no companion. (Clears throat) Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave that order because it was the dream of Bhaktivinod Thakur. And where did Bhaktivinod Thakur's dream come from? From the very mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Bharata Bhumite Hoila Manusya Janma Jara Janma Sarataka Kara Kara Paro Upakar. Lord Chaitanya has said that everyone of this great land of Bharat Varsha should perform the highest welfare work for all of living beings by spreading the glories of the holy name. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just beginning his tour to South India, he would not allow his devotees to go with him. He approached his devotees and said, "I want to try to find my brother, Vishwarup. So please give me your permission to travel to the south, because I cannot go without the blessings and the permission of all of you." How beautiful. The controller of all controllers, Ishwara Parama Krishna. We are all little controllers, and therefore we think we're independent. But he is the supreme controller. But his nature is he is under the control of his devotees. Love is a reciprocation of control. Krishna controls Sri Radha, Radha controls Sri Krishna. Srimati Radharani is always subordinate to the love of Shamsundar, and Shamsundar is always subordinate to the love of Sri Radha. That is the nature of love. Srimati Radharani is the supreme reservoir of all love. And just as we are all part and parcel of Krishna, mamaivam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. Whatever love or bhakti is within our hearts eternally is part and parcel of the love of Sri Radha. Her love is like the sun, ours is like a little spark. But Krishna is conquered even by that spark of love. There are so many examples in Srimad Bhagavatam. Ambarish Maharaj, Krishna tells Durvasa Muni that he has conquered me because of his love. I am subordinate to the affection of my devotees. He tells Haridas Thakur, "I am a prisoner in your heart, and it is impossible for me to escape." Prisoner of love, subordinate to love. That prema is so powerful. That dormant spark of prema within our heart, when it awakens, it can conquer the all merciful, all-powerful, absolute truth. The source of the all-pervading Brahman. The source of Mahavishnu. He just breathes in and the universe is destroyed. Now all of you, you're breathing in so many times. How many times have you breathed in during class? What happened? No one cares. No one takes notice. And he does it when he's sleeping, yoga nidra. Some of you are sleeping also. You may not see, but I see. So powerful. And his avatar is this Varaha. He lifts the earth with his nose. Or Narasimhadev, whose roar and fearsome form Brahma, Shiva, Lakshmi could not approach. It was too fearsome. This is the Lord. In the Holy Bible, the Holy Quran, the power, the might of God is explained in a very abbreviated way. But Krishna is the source of all other incarnations, the source of Brahman. And that little spark of love that conquers him, any devotee who just awakens that love, following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, is conquered. Conquers Krishna. He becomes a prisoner that cannot escape. So if our love is a spark, what is the power of Srimati Radharani's love? From whom all love is emanating. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, who is all-knowing. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani chajana babashani chabutini mam tu vedana kashchana. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, I know everything. I know everything that has happened in the past. I know all things that are happening at the present. And I know everything that is to come. Can you imagine that intelligence? And he says, and I know every living being in full, every detail. Nothing is hidden. You may think that when the altar door is closed that Krishna doesn't see you. You may think that when you leave the temple room, then you can put on regular dress and go into the cinema and nobody sees you, at least no devotees. But Krishna, he's within the heart. And within your heart, he knows, even the little ant, he knows everything, every thought, every word, and every deed that you have performed. Forever in the past, in the present, and forever in the future. And Krishna has that information on everybody. He remembers when you were a mosquito and you bit somebody and gave them malaria. You don't remember that, but he remembers. He remembers when you were a snake crawling around, causing fear to little children. He remembers when you were a dog, passing urine on Tulsi. Prabhupada said dogs are great offenders because they like to pass urine on Tulsi. He remembers everything about everyone. The dog in Scandinavia, Prabhupada remembers when he was the Prime Minister of India. Prabhupada said like that. I'm not going to go into details. Krishna's all-knowing. But there's one thing. With all of his might, he cannot understand the love of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Krishna appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to understand the glory of Sri Radharani's love. The wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love. And the happiness that she feels by tasting the sweetness of his love. There are many beautiful stories that illustrate Krishna's heart in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He looks in a jeweled pillar and sees his own reflection and is very much attracted by his own reflection because he's all attractive. And he's wondering, what is the experience that Srimati Radharani has when she sees this reflection? I cannot understand. Krishna's thinking that if a breeze touches my body and goes near her, she just goes mad and just tries to jump into the breeze. When she sees the color of a tamal tree, in her madness of remembering me, she thinks the tamal tree is me and she embraces it. Unlimited stories of Sri Radharani's all-powerful love. The power of Narayan is in his opulence of strength, of grandeur. But in Vrindavan, Krishna's greatest opulence, his greatest power, is the power of his smile, his laughter, his playful leelas, his sweetness, the supreme power. Even Lakshmi leaves Narayan in Vaikuntha to go to Belvan in Brajbhumi to perform tapasya, to enter into the lila of Krishna's sweetness. All the grandeur of Vaikuntha, which is unimaginable to us. We go to some wealthy person's house in Bombay and we think, oh, look at the walls. Look at the pillars, so much marble, gold, leaf. Well, nothing. It's like a ghetto compared to the heavenly planets. It's like what you see when you're coming down at the airport in Bombay. And compared to the heavenly planets, what is Vaikuntha? Billions of trillions of times more grandeur. And Lord Narayan, so beautiful. Supremely magnificent. But Lakshmi, she leaves Vaikuntha, leaves Narayan to come to Vrindavan because she's attracted to the greatest power of God that only Krishna possesses. The sweetness of his dancing, his playing his flute, his joking words in the forests of Vrindavan. But she could not enter because she was not able to give up her position of the goddess of fortune to become a gopi. and make cow dung patties and put water on her head and live a simple life. Srimati Radharani, she is the supreme goddess of fortune. She is the source of all Lakshmis. And in Vrindavan, that's what she does. She carries yogurt on her head in a little pot. At Dangati or Shankarikor, Krishna and his gopa friends with little sticks, they block the path as tax collectors. Give us your butter and yogurt. And she has little clay pots on her head. No, no. I am going to deliver this to the sages, to the rishis who are performing yajna. Krishna, who is all-knowing, cannot understand the glory of Radha's love. Therefore, in order to experience that love, he takes on the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Naumi Krishna Swarupam. Krishna, with the loving sentiments and the golden complexion of Sri Radharani, that is Lord Chaitanya. And from internally, he is fulfilling his deepest desire. But from our perspective, he's giving what no other incarnation has ever given. Swarup Damodar Goswami is Lalita Sakhi in Sri Braj Leela. He knows. He is explaining no other incarnation has ever given what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. And he only appears once in a day of Brahma. That's about 4,320,000,000 years. Because other incarnations, they, as Niranjan Swami Maharaj was explaining last night, they can give love of God. They could give liberation from all sufferings, all the way up to elevation to Vaikuntha Loka. But only Krishna can give entrance into Vrindavan Leela, the most intimate, the most deeply spiritual, pure love. Krishna is conquered by the intimacy of the love of every resident of Vrindavan. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more merciful than even Krishna. Because Krishna distributed that love in a very close circle. And in Bhagavad Gita, he spoke very, very high standards. You had to surrender to him. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, who is Balaram, they are giving this love practically free of cost to everyone and anyone. So magnanimous in the age of Kali, because no one is qualified. Lochan Das Thakur is explaining Kevala Ananda Kanda. Their process is simply joyful. Chanting, dancing, and feasting. Srila Prabhupada, he was deputed by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda through their most confidential associates to bring Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching as mercy to the whole world. We were reading in the purport yesterday, Lord Chaitanya came to Kashi and nobody wanted Harinam or Krishna Prem. They were all Aham Brahmasmi type people. So, Namo Narayana. Like that. They addressed each other, Oh my Lord Narayana, oh, my obeisances to you. Lord Chaitanya said, nobody is taking, but I have to give it. I'll give it for a fraction of the price. Srila Prabhupada came to New York City. Can you imagine when Prabhupada first looked out at New York City in 1965? If any of you have been there, you can imagine. At that time, there was no really big skyscrapers in India. When I came to Bombay in 1971, it was nothing like today. It was practically like a pasture ground compared to what Bombay is today. I thought it was a horrible city because I was coming from Himalayas. God, it's a horrible city. I thought the only people happy in Bombay is the rats. I remember I was thinking like that. I don't say that now. I'm saying in 1970 I was taking a meditation course and in the middle of the night I looked out the window and there were people laying in the streets and there was just rats crawling all over their bodies. They looked so happy. But Bombay was like a small little village compared to what it is today. So here is Srila Prabhupada looking out at Manhattan Island from the Jaladutta. Towering skyscrapers. Such a cold looking situation. He wrote his Jaladutta prayers in Boston Harbor. How is it possible? But Srila Prabhupada understood Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's mercy somehow or other. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi, he was giving out love of God through Krishna Nam so freely. But there were certain people so fallen, so degraded, that according to the status of his ashram, he couldn't approach them. So he told Lord Nityananda Prabhu to marry and go to them. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at one time, when Nityananda Prabhu was in ecstasy, he washed his feet with all the other devotees. Then they took off Nityananda Prabhu's kopan. They took it somehow, and Lord Chaitanya ripped it into shreds and wrapped the shred around his head and then distributed shreds of Nityananda's kopan, and they all wrapped it around their heads. And then they all drank, Lord Chaitanya led by drinking the water that washed his feet. And he said, we are all doing this for our purification. He said, whoever touches the kopan of Nityananda Prabhu will be free from all desire for sense gratification forever. Hare Krishna. And he said, even if Lord Nityananda Prabhu is seen in a brothel, holding hands with a low-class woman, we should never doubt his supreme integrity and purity. He's there to deliver the fallen souls. That was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And actually, Nityananda Prabhu, he went to the lowliest people everywhere, begging and pleading with them to take mercy. Balaram, with his club, killed the demons. Or even Romaharshan Sutta, with a blade of kusha grass, because he was too proud. But Nityananda Prabhu are going to the lowest Jagai and Madhai. They were more degraded than most of the demons of Vrindavan. Yes? They were really, really, very, very demoniac. And he's begging, willing to forgive them for everything, just begging, just take the name of Lord Chaitanya, take the name of Krishna. And if anyone would do that, even the most sinful person, if they would chant the name of Krishna even once, Lord Nityananda Prabhu would weep and cry and embrace them in gratitude. So this was the spirit that Srila Prabhupada had in his heart. How will I make these people devotees? But I'm here, and I have to do it. And there was no success. Month after month after month, and his god brothers and his well-wishers in India were saying, come back, it's impossible. And he was getting death threats. He was getting kicked out of little places where he was staying. But he continued. And he was empowered by Gaur Nitai. Parama Karuna Pahun Dui Jana Nitai Gaura Chandra. And yes, in a very short time, he was traveling on jet airplanes all over the world. First airplane he ever was on, he was about 71 years old. So he was leaving New York for San Francisco. He was looking down. First time he was in the sky like that. And then, as we were saying, to Australia, to Africa, to the Middle East, all over Europe, Russia, to all the major cities of America, he was having Rath Yatras. South America. He went to every continent on Earth except for Antarctica. And on this particular day, he landed in, I think he drove up from Gainesville or something, and he came to Atlanta, Georgia. And there are beautiful 8-metal deities of Gaur Nitai, very large size. Devotees from all over America came to be with Prabhupada there, many places. And it was time to give Srimad Bhagavatam class. He sang this song, Parama Karuna, by Lochan Das Thakur. Meditating on the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. You see, Srila Prabhupada never considered that he was the doer. That is Vaishnav. A Vaishnav never takes credit for any of the good work that they may do. Srila Prabhupada considered that he was just a puppet. He prayed to be a puppet, and he understood as he was performing the most glorious activities that he was just the puppet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. By the mercy of his Gurudev. So he was looking at those beautiful forms of Nitai Gaurachandra, singing this song, the inspiration of his heart to glorify their mercy. And when it came time to speak, he went into an ecstasy of compassion. He became stunned, tears pouring from his eyes, body trembling. He could not speak a word. There was total silence in the temple. The devotees were overwhelmed. They just looked up at him on his Vyasa-san. And finally, when he came out of his trance, he just said, "Chant Hare Krishna," and he left the temple room. Now, we cannot understand what is the ecstatic love of a Paramhamsa. But it appears from singing this song and speaking a couple words about the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, his ecstasy was their causeless, unparalleled kindness to all living beings. And he was seeing it right before his eyes. And the gratitude he must have felt to be an instrument of that love. Lochandas Thakur concludes this song by revealing the natural sentiments of a pure Vaishnava. He regrets that he's entrapped by sense gratification. "Since I have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, then Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement." Since the past 450 years, our greatest acharyas have been reading the books of Lochandas Thakur, singing the prayers of Lochandas Thakur, distributing them. And Lochandas Thakur, this is what he thinks about himself. To the degree we actually experience the mercy of the Lord, we become completely humbled by that experience. A person that is proud has not really accessed mercy. You have to be humble to access it. And the more you access it, the more humble you become. Because mercy is given by the will of the Lord. And it is so powerful. When you actually feel it, you have to feel yourself so insignificant. Yes? You may think you're a great person. You may think you're strong because you can run on a treadmill for 1 hour. But if a tsunami, a tidal wave comes, yes, because you know there is a sea right next door. It's just 2 blocks away. And the whole Bombay is subject to tsunami waves. Now if all of a sudden this huge wave just comes, and then you think you're very, very strong and very intelligent, and you have a lot of money in your bank account, which makes you very powerful. But if you're just standing on the shore of the ocean and this tidal wave comes upon you, What do you feel like? Do you feel insignificant? You feel totally insignificant. When there's no tidal waves, you may think you're great, but when the tidal wave is coming, you feel insignificant. So Krishna's mercy is like a tidal wave. It's all powerful. When we really experience, when we're not getting mercy, we can think we're really great, or at least when we're not accessing it. But when we actually access that, the mercy is everywhere. But our consciousness is what accesses it or rejects it. When we begin to access that mercy, it is like a tidal wave. It is so, but it's not like a tidal wave that destroys. It may destroy our illusion, but it completely purifies us. And as we're being purified, we realize Krishna is so great, his mercy is so powerful, his love is so sweet. I am insignificant. Well, therefore, we can understand how a person is receiving the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda by the qualities of their humility. And we can understand how they are being deprived by the quality of their false pride. And it's not our knowledge or our abilities or accomplishments that can save us. It is only the mercy of the Lord. Trinadapi sunichena taror ibasi hishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Krishna is non-different than his name. If we want to access, be blessed by the mercy of Krishna in his holy name and Hare, Radha, the mercy of Sri Radha, the love of Sri Radha in her name. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath are fully manifested in their names in this Maha Mantra. To the degree we have a humble heart, we can access it. And to the degree we access it, we become more and more and more and more humble. Until we're so humble, like the grass and the tree, that we can chant the names constantly. Lochandas Thakur says that he's being punished by Yamaraj because he has no attraction for Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying he's lower than a worm in stool. Very poetic. More sinful than Jagai and Madhai. Anyone who hears my name loses their piety, and anyone who speaks my name becomes sinful. Srila Prabhupada, he is praying that I have no devotion and I have no knowledge. But somehow or other, you have given me this name, Bhaktivedanta. And my Lord, only you can fulfill the purport of my name. Your insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. These are the qualities of those who have received the supreme mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu. We are very blissful to see Sri Radha Gopinath. Have you seen the darshan, Mataji? Are you happy? This is holy darshan. The holy darshan is a very holy darshan. especially on this day. I would like to speak one brief history of how Holi was celebrated in our Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. Would you like to hear? Thank you. We will be celebrating this evening. What time did they say?
Five.
Like the Panchatattva. 5 o'clock, there will be Holi celebration. We once celebrated Holi in the temple. And we'll never do it again. We gave such nice instructions of the sweet mood of Holi in Bharasana. Have you ever been to Holi? In the temple room, it's quite exciting. But when you go into Gabarvan and these very nice Braj forests, people were coming, Brajabasis were coming and saying, Jai Shri Radhe, and they'd sprinkle little dust on my head, and then they'd hold it out, and their dust, their you know, powder colors, and say, Jai Shri Radhe, and sprinkle it on their head. Somebody from Nandagram would come, Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Shri Radhe, just sprinkling very nicely. Very loving, very devotional, very artistic, very sweet. So we had a beautiful holy ceremony for the deities, with the brahmacharis on the altar, for Radha Gopi Jana Ballabha. They were spraying them and showering them with very, very natural colors. And we said, now, and then all the remnants of the Mahaprasad of the deities we brought out, and we said, now everyone just take a little bit and just sprinkle it on your friend's head and say, Jai Shri Radhe. And Jai Shri Krishna. That's what happened. Exactly like that. Devotees just lost control. It became the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Unbelievable. Kirtan was going on and it just became Hare Krishna. And it was, at first it was like Hare Krishna Jay Hare Krishna. And I had to escape. I was practically dead. I went up to there and like this person, I was looking down. It's unbelievable. It was war. I was thinking whatever pent in animosity anybody had toward each other, it was being very openly expressed on this day. And devotees, they were, it's supposed to be very beautiful colors of yellow and red and orange and blue, but they just were just spraying and pouring and riping and rubbing and so many that all the colors just combined and everybody was just black. Their clothes were black. Their faces were black. Every now and then, you know, some little spots of green in it. But it wasn't black like Krishna. It was something very different. But that wasn't so bad. What was bad is it took us about 3 weeks to clean the temple room. The floors, the walls, the everything. So tonight we're having it in the courtyard. And it will only be between the pujaris and the deities. I remember before we did this, some of the brahmacharis said, "Are you sure you want to allow this?" I said, "No, it will be very sweet." They said, "Are you sure? You don't know what the devotee's conditionings of holy is." You know, this is conditionings before they joined the sweet dancing movement of Gaur Nitai. I said, no, now they're devotees. They want the Vrindavan atmosphere movie. And Shyamananda Prabhu, he said, "This festival will be the litmus test to see how obedient our devotees actually are." And I must confess that we miserably failed that test. How many of you were there for that? Please say Hari Bol. And we didn't announce it either. It was a surprise. And some of our devotees came with very nice saris. It's finished. But today, we will celebrate Holi, at least now, through our ears, by hearing about the beautiful celebration that happened almost over 500 years ago. And it happened on the first festival of Gaur Purnima. Last night we told the story of how Narottam Das Thakur, this was his inspiration. He and Srinivasacharya, they wanted to have a festival on the Palguna Purnima to celebrate Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. No one had ever done it before. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already left this world. They decided to invite all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who were still living. The vast majority left very shortly after Lord Chaitanya left for the spiritual world. So Srinivasacharya and Narottam Das Thakur, they sat together, I think it was in Jajigram, and they made a whole list of who they were going to invite. And with beautiful handwriting, each invitation was personally written by one of the two of them. It wasn't like they just went to a printer and got a standard invitation. Yes? Each one, you know, separate people, whether it was palm leaves or some sort of very, very beautiful natural paper that was made. And they personally, you know, with various herbs, they made the ink. And they wrote. And it was personally to that particular Vaishnav, praising their qualities, showing their gratitude, begging them, "Please come to this festival." And they didn't send him by courier or by mail. They had their very, very confidential senior devotees traveling to all these places to personally give the invitation. And personally, on behalf of Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivasacharya, with love in their heart, plead with the person, "Please come, please come. We want to serve you." This was the culture of the Vaishnavas. One devotee walked all the way to Kardaha. Kardaha is the place of Janava Devi, who was the senior most living Vaishnava at the time, personally came, waited for the opportunity, gave the letter. Along with the letter was prasad and so many other things. Gifts. It was not only going to be the celebration of Gaur Purnima, but Narottam Das Thakur was going to install the deities in his temple. Six deities. There was the deity of Lord Chaitanya, and Balabi Kanta, Brajamohan, Radha Raman, Radha Kanta, and Radha Krishna. When Janava Devi got this invitation, she became so thrilled. Yes, I will come. And it was a long walk. She was an elderly lady. Soon after, she began the journey. On the way, she met Achyutananda and Krishna Mishra, who were the sons of Advaitacharya, who were still living. They joined her procession. And Vrindavan Das Thakur, the last disciple of Nityananda Prabhu, the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat, he also joined the procession. Two of the brothers of Srivas Thakur, who were still living, they also came along. Srinivasacharya Narottam Das Thakur, they were making such wonderful arrangements. Narottam Das Thakur and Khetri, his cousin brother, Santosh Dutt, who was then like the king of that area, he took practically all the money in his treasury to serve the Vaishnavas. Built a wonderful temple for the deities to be installed. Built all kinds of beautiful guest houses for the devotees to stay. Built big kitchens, big storehouses to hold all the bhoga and the grains and vegetables. And what lavish decorations, flowers and garlands and all sorts of other ornaments. The deity of Lord Chaitanya, very interesting how that appeared. That deity, Lord Chaitanya had a deity made of himself. And somehow or other that deity was lost in the river. Nobody knew where it was. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to Narottam Das Thakur in a dream and said, this deity that is identical to myself, that I personally made, it was carved right in my presence. This deity is in a grain silo. Of a merchant named Vipradas. You should go and bring him and have him installed. So Narottam Das Thakur was searching everywhere. Do you know anyone named Vipradas? On the outskirts of Khetri, someone said, yes, yes, he lives over here. He said, do you have a granary? He says, yes. I want to go in your granary. No, you cannot go. For years it has been infested with venomous snakes. In fact, I have a sizable portion of my income invested in the grains in that silo. But it became the abode of so many snakes. What to do? I can't get my own grains. I invited snake charmers. I invited tantrics. I invited all kinds of other mystics to somehow or other get these snakes out. And the more they perform their pujas and their rituals and their mantras, the louder the snakes hissed, almost ridiculing them. So I gave up. I just took it as a major loss and just boarded it up. Nobody will go near there. Narottam Das Thakur said, there is something in there that I need to get. He said, no, you cannot go. Narottam Das Thakur smiled. He said, do not worry. There will be no problem. And he just walked. It is the Lord's will that I go in your granary. And everyone in the town was running and saying, no, stop, don't go in there, you will die. He went in. Just opened the door. As soon as he opened the door of the granary, all the snakes came flooding outside. And they all went into the forest, never to return. Now, if you had a dream like that, he took it very seriously. He had 100% complete faith. One of his disciples, Govinda Das Kaviraj, he wrote this beautiful song. Bajahure mana sri nandanandana abhaya charanaravindare. He was a disciple of Srinivasacharya. And if one worships the lotus feet of Sri Nandanandana, he becomes fearless. That was Thakur Narottam. He went in the granary and came out with the beautiful golden deity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Have any of you ever seen that deity? Today, that deity of Mahaprabhu is in a place called Gamvila, which is in the district of Murshidabad, between Calcutta and Mayapur town, on the banks of the river Ganga. That is the ancestral home of Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, one of the principal disciples of Narottam Das Thakur. So going back, Narottam Das Thakur brought the, as he was carrying the deity of Lord Chaitanya, he began singing beautiful, beautiful prayers. And he didn't really get to see the deity. He just picked him up and carried him. And then when he got back to his bhajan kutir in Kethari, he put the deity down and looked at his beautiful face. And his heart was just transformed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Narottam Das Thakur that he was going to reveal a new kirtan style in this world, a kirtan style that originates in the spiritual world through Narottam. It was on this first day in his kutir when he was looking at the deity of Gauranga. Gauranga Mahaprabhu empowered his heart and he began to sing. And in that song was inaugurated the famous style of kirtan of Narottam Das Thakur. And then he had 5 sets of Radha Krishna deities to be carved by the will of the Lord. So the whole of Kethri was just buzzing with devotional love, arranging for this incredible festival. And when the devotees were coming, how much they personally cared for every single devotee. Because to get to Kethari from Bengal, you have to cross the river Padma, which is at that time quite a wide river. So the devotees were waiting at the other side. some of the chief disciples of Srinivasacharya, Shyamananda Goswami, and Narottam Das Thakur. And they had very, very nice boats. They would greet them, offer them prasad, offer them gifts, put them on the boat. They'd sail across the river, and just when they came to the other side, Srinivas, Narottam, and them were there to greet them. More gifts, more garlands, chandan, sweet water, prasad. Then they would escort them to Khetri Gram, to the town, give them their rest. They would show them the arrangements for the festival, bring them to their rooms. And each devotee was given personal assistance. Not just hired servants. These were the very, very serious senior devotees who were taking the roles of personally serving the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the other very senior Vaishnavas. Anything they wanted, they had devotees taking care of them. This is guest reception in its ideal state that we should all be striving to achieve. And I think that Gauranga Priya Prabhu and Jai Sachinandan are very seriously endeavoring in this way, and I congratulate them. And they were not only serving out of duty, they were serving out of love and gratitude. Because in Vaishnava culture, there is no greater honor, there is no greater benediction than the opportunity to serve. We should serve with gratitude. Whatever we do for somebody, we should not think that they owe me something. We should never think that I am doing them a favor. That is not devotional service. They are doing me the greatest favor. They are blessing me by allowing me to serve. That is the consciousness. And in the morning they had a beautiful arrangement. Srinivasacharya spoke on the Srimad Bhagavatam. But before doing so, he went to each and every one of the senior Vaishnavas, fell at their feet with tears in his eyes and begged permission. Please bless me and empower me to speak. And Janava Devi and all the others blessed him with joyful hearts. You see, because he was so humble, because he was so sincere, they really blessed him. Yes. Somebody comes up to you and says, you know, please bless me. I'm going to do it anyway, but please bless me. You'll say, yes, yes, you are blessed. You're blessed. Well, when a person's really humble and really sincere and so respectful and have so much affection and they're begging for blessings, then you don't have to go like this. The blessings are pouring from your heart. So they all blessed Srinivasacharya and how he spoke from Srimad Bhagavatam. They were all the associates of Lord Chaitanya amongst themselves were thinking, Shukadev Goswami speaking through Krishna speaking through. He's empowered, so sweet, so deep. And the day of Gaur Purnima, they had the installation of the deities. Srinivasacharya was the pujari. Balabhikanta, Braj Mohan, Radha Krishna, Radha Kanta, Radha Raman, and Gauranga Mahaprabhu. They were all installed. Senior devotees came and performed the prana pratishta, abhishekam. Wonderful kirtan. Amazing bhoga was offered. And Janava Devi herself who was known as Ishwari. Senior most devotee, all the other Vaishnavas, when she went to Vrindavan after this festival, Rupa Goswami, and all the great Goswamis were bowing down at her feet. Raghunath Das Goswami was bowing at her feet. Why? She was Nityananda Prabhu's wife. She was the Shakti of Balaram. Even Jiva Goswami, who later became like the leader of all the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan after Rupa Goswami had left. When she came and he was the leader, he was menially serving her. But what was her mood? She was cooking for all the devotees. She wasn't sitting on a throne like this. She was just on the ground cutting vegetables and cooking. And if for any of you who have been to Kethari, there's a kund. And that kund is very, very sacred because that's where Janava was getting all the water for making all the preparations. The place where she would walk, her pots were being washed. So in this festival, the deities were installed in a very, very beautiful way. And there was a kirtan. Devi Das was one of the disciples of Narottam Thakur, who was a very, very great kirtan singer. Narottam Das Thakur was dancing. And as he was dancing, everyone thought that they were seeing Lord Chaitanya himself dancing. Srinivasacharya was weeping. He ran up and embraced Narottam Das Thakur. That Lord, none of them have ever seen Lord Chaitanya before. Srinivas said, Gauranga Mahaprabhu is dancing in your body. We can all see it. When the kirtan came to a certain point, it stopped and Narottam Das Thakur personally began to sing. He sang the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, from his heart of hearts, he was singing songs in separation from Lord Chaitanya and all his devotees. And his love completely inundated everyone's consciousness. There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of devotees. And for this festival, thousands and thousands of villagers from all directions came just to see what was going on. Thakur Narottam was singing. The mridangas were playing. The karatals. Devotees were becoming deeper and deeper in their emotional ecstasies of separation. Until the kirtan was very sweet but tumultuous with love. It came to the point that devotees were feeling so much separation from Lord Chaitanya, from Advaita, Srivas, Gadadhar, Nityananda Prabhu, and all of their devotees, they were actually on the verge of death. At that point, when everyone was singing with so much longing, yearning, weeping in separation of the Lord, like a flash of lightning, right in their midst, in a physical spiritual form, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, dancing in ecstasy. Achyutananda and Krishna Mishra, suddenly they saw the father that they were in separation from all those years, Advaitacharya, appear in ecstasy, dancing. Srivas Thakur's brothers all of a sudden saw Srivas Thakur appear along with his other brother Sri Ram dancing in the kirtan. And there was Gadadhar and Haridas Thakur and Suklambar Brahmachari and Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Murari Gupta appeared. All the associates, the intimate, most associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just came in their spiritual forms, dancing in ecstasy, dancing with all the other devotees, embracing each other, as Narottam Das Thakur sang the kirtan of the holy names. According to the Bhakti Ratnakar, Narottam Das Thakur's desire was so strong to see the Lord that Lord Chaitanya was forced by Narottam's love. He was forced to appear in that kirtan and bring his associates with him. That was the power of Thakur Narottam's pure love. Lord Chaitanya completely satisfy everyone's desires. They were overwhelmed, flooding over with bliss, volcanic eruptions of ecstasies in everyone. And then another lightning flash. It was like that. They disappeared. And whatever happiness they had now turned into the ecstasies of separation. Sambhog and Vipralamba. Through their Vipralamba, through their love and through their chanting the holy names in separation, the Lord reciprocated by giving him Sambhog, his personal association, physical association. But then that Sambhoga made them so deeply attached to seeing the Lord, to hearing the Lord, that when he left again, their Vipralamba was increased. This is the science of ecstasy. And they were rolling on the ground as some people were running. Where is Gadadhar? Gadadhar, where are you? And they were running into the forest and running to Haridas Thakur, I saw you. Where are you now? And Nityananda, where are you? Can you imagine Janava Devi's ecstasy when she saw her beloved husband, Nityananda Prabhu, dancing before her eyes after years of separation? And they were gone. And devotees were just practically insane in separation. But Janava Devi, who was in the same condition as all of them, as the senior most acharya, she understood what she had to do to pacify the Vaishnava's heart. And here we will begin today's class. Janava Devi called for Srinivasacharya and gave him an order. Now, to satisfy the devotees, we should begin the festival of Holi. And she gave him instructions exactly what to do. Srinivasacharya went and got all these beautiful, bright-colored powders. Some of them were made out of natural pollen of flowers. All natural ingredients. He put them in various containers and then mixed perfume fragrances into the powders. Then he brought all these powders with his assistance to Janavadevi. Janava then called Srinivasanacharya and Narottam Das Thakur and requested them, now you must go to all the senior Vaishnava associates of Lord Chaitanya and beg their permission and blessings to begin this holy festival. On her request, Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivasacharya went to each and every one of them with folded palms and requested blessings and begged for permission to begin the ceremony. And everyone's hearts were just to see the humility of these great souls. Blessings were pouring upon them. Then after getting the permission, they came back and Srinivasacharya put the colors into smaller containers and brought them all back to Janavadevi. Janavadevi took all those containers and put them at the lotus feet of the deity of Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, and offered everything. Then her and some of the other devotees took all of the different colors and in a very loving, gentle way, they sprinkled it on the deities. Balabhikanta, Braj Mohan, Radha Krishna, Radha Raman, and Radhakanta. They smeared them on their faces, sprinkled it on their heads, smeared it on their clothes and on their limbs. And when the devotees saw Lord Chaitanya with the colorful holy powders upon him, nobody could take their eyes off the deity. So beautiful, so enchanting to their souls. Then on the inspiration of Janavadevi, she gave the direction and they took the Mahaprasad of all the deities and very lovingly were sprinkling it and smearing it on each other as the kirtan was being sung and the devotees were dancing to the holy names. Krishna, Hare, Hare, Ram, Hare, Ram, 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 Hare, Hare. To see the deities with these holy colors all over them and with their clothes like this. And to be sharing such loving reciprocations of affection and gratitude amongst the devotees, everyone's hearts were so pleased. It was just so sweet. In this way, Janavadevi saved the devotees' lives from dying in separation after the Lord left them. And Lord, the deity of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu was watching and was especially pleased to see the loving exchanges amongst all the devotees. In Vrindavan, when Radha and Krishna have their holi, the gopas and the gopis, it is a festival of love. In many ways, it's a battle of love. Usually battle is not love. I don't know, maybe grihasthas have those, I don't know. I never had that experience. But but the colors, whether they are the squirting colors from the syringes or whether it's the powdered colors that are being thrown by the hands, they are representing the heart's love. And Sri Radha and Gopis and Sri Krishna and Gopas, they take two sides. Who will conquer the other with love? Because that's what bhakti is about. being conquered by love and conquering with love. So holy is the perfect festival. The love of Sri Radha is being manifest in the form of the colors in her syringe, and she's trying to conquer Krishna with that love. And the love of Krishna for Sri Radharani is being expressed and manifest through the colors in his syringe, and he's trying to conquer Srimati Radharani with that love. And the gopas who are Radharani's side, and the gopis and the gopas, they're respectively trying to conquer each other. It's a very beautiful scene, and it's very instructive that devotees of the Lord, how Radha and Krishna are responding to each other by conquering each other with love, all the devotees are doing the same thing with each other. That is holy. We see in this beautiful painting that Srila Haridas Thakur has written, has painted. Everyone is throwing, all the gopas, gopis and gopis, they're all on behalf of Radha and Krishna. Who will conquer the other by their love? And according to whatever research I have done, Radharani and gopis always win. They always win. That's why Krishna had to come as Lord Chaitanya to understand, why does she always win? I want to understand. I want to understand what it is in her that always defeats me in this holy festival. So yes, if you go outside the temple, it's not like that, unholy. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, even very holy things become very unholy. Things that are divine expressions of bhakti become degraded to just sports and games and mundane. And we have to be very careful. Because in devotees, in our own lives, these sacred gifts that Krishna has given us, that Prabhupada has given us, we should not take them for granted. We should not ever take them to be ordinary. The association of devotees, the opportunity to render service, the deities, the holy name, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's book, so many gifts we've been given. We should never take them to be ordinary. We should never take them for granted. By hearing regularly, in proper association, our appreciation for these gifts ever increases. And that is how we make spiritual progress. Lord Chaitanya was so very pleased to see all the devotees playing holy with each other, with Krishna in the center. It was all done for the pleasure of Krishna. The devotees were doing it all for the pleasure of the deities. Because there's nothing that gives the deities pleasure than seeing the devotees exchanging love for each other for Radha Gopinath's pleasure. That is holy. When the festival ended, then there was, Janava Devi led everyone for the aarti of the deities. And more kirtan. And on the next day after Gaur Purnima, that's when Janava Devi spent the whole morning cooking. They were up all night. Other devotees went to take rest. She cooked personally. She had many assistants, But she was personally, with her own hands, making every preparation. And then she invited all the senior devotees and oversaw the serving. Then all the other devotees oversaw the serving. Then the servants, she oversaw the serving. Then the servants of the servants oversaw the serving. Devotees were pleading with Janavadevi to take some prasad. She fasted completely the day before. She worked harder than anyone all day, cooking in the morning, still hadn't eaten anything. Went through all these different, different batches of devotees that they were serving the seniors, serving the juniors, serving the servants of the servants. She wouldn't eat anything until everyone was completely satisfied. And can you imagine the feast that she cooked? And then after all, devotees begged her to take something. She took a little milk. She was completely satisfied just serving all the Vaishnavas. Narottam Das Thakur and his devotees begged all these great souls to stay a little longer. They could not refuse. And ultimately, when it was time to go, they gave them stocks of prasad to take with them for their journeys and all sorts of beautiful gifts and maha prasad of the deities and made every possible arrangement to thoroughly see to every possible want and need of every Vaishnava and try to satisfy it. In this way, Gaur Purnima was celebrated. And by Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy, we are also trying to follow in the footsteps of these great personalities in our celebration of Gaur Purnima. I thank you all so very much for participating. Hare Krishna. Should we sing another?